So yesterday I got a text. Oh no. And I can't get into your computer. Can you unlock it? So yesterday I got a text saying, so Scott, Elaine's feeling kind of ill. Don't think she's going to be able to come to church tomorrow and preach. So I said, yeah, I'll do it. And didn't know what I said till afterwards when I had to start writing a preach. So I wrote a talk and it was wrong. So 9 o'clock, I redone it. So yeah, bit last minute, but I really feel that God's given me this word to share and to talk to you guys about. So that being said, pray for Elaine because she's ill. Are we in? Cool. So, what is sin? That's every time I come up here, you do my talk. Every time. Well, I think, so what is the life in sin? So first, we need to know what sin is. And sin is simply anything bad! Note to self, don't give him the mic. Sin is anything bad. Sin is anything ungodly, it's something that we do wrong. And in a dictionary, it describes sin as an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. And it's sin in the eye of God. Basically, divine law is God's rules. It's through the Spirit, basically. So what does a life in sin look like? What would it look like in our lives? For me, it looked like swearing all the time, every other word. It was fighting. It was stealing. It was just not nice stuff. But that being said, sin doesn't look the same in all of our lives. My life may have been one way, may have been more extreme, may have been less extreme than others, but sin to the individual can be a really heartbreaking and soul-destroying thing. So, it could be your thoughts. It could be the way you look at women when they're passing the street, or look at men when they're passing the street. That thing goes both ways. You know, it could be swearing. It could be just putting people down, just in a normal thing like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm good. You? I did this. Oh, well, I did this. That's not very good. Just putting people down, you know. It's not. It could be as simple as your mum saying, coming to that part, it's going to be in a minute for you. It could be as simple as your mum saying, no, you can't have a biscuit before bed, you've had two already, go to bed. And you go and you sneak a biscuit. I do this. Lydia says, you can't have a biscuit before bed. Well, I'm having a biscuit. Sneak a biscuit and then you scurry off with your biscuit. So it can be little things. So yeah, it can be anything basically. So in Galatians 5, it describes sin like this. So I'm using the message so that you know, because it's a bit easier to get your heads around, and it puts it into your life and puts it into perspective for you. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitiveness, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic shows, magic show religions, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfying wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or to be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. It says here, I could go on. She could, really. Could go on. It's also said after that, this isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So basically, sin not good. Sin's not very nice. And all in all, it's not a nice place to live in. It's not a nice place to be in yourselves. It's not a nice place to be at in a day-to-day life, whether it be doing sin every now and then, or whether your life is revolved around sin, which it so easily could be. However, there is a flip side to all of this, and a positive side, which is what you've always got to remember. It's a good thing about the Bible. It can be bad, then it can be good in 10 seconds of reading. How many times will I read the Bible, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't do that, oh, I'm so bad. And then it says, but, wait, there's more, kind of thing. You're like, yeah, yeah, I like part two. It makes you feel good. So there's a flip side to all of this, and towards a life in the Spirit, rather than a life in sin. So, we've been talking about them. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Does anyone else know the fruits of the Spirit? Anybody else know any of the fruits of the Spirit? Oh, cool. Come here then. Quick. Left step, right step. Your body will follow. They call it walking. Come up. So, give me a fruit of the Spirit.
Peace!
Can you do it? Do peace. Can everyone do peace? Cool. So, that's the fruit of the Spirit. What's another fruit of the Spirit? That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit are good things.
Oh. Love!
Love, yeah. See, that's a fruit. Wait. Quick, give us a fruit.
Kindness.
We got peace, we got love, we got kindness, we threw out anger.
Self-control.
Yeah. Self-control. I like that.
Gentleness.
Ah, that's nice and quiet. Do you have another one? No, but that is how you live them out.
Forgiveness.
Not quite.
Kindness,
that's one. Any more? Have you got one? You walked all this way.
Peace!
I like it. So, well done. So, I'm going to read them all out. I think we're one short, but I'm going to read them out to you. So, they're love. You might want to take note of this in case you've written something different. Yeah, all of you picking them up like, yeah, what are they? I couldn't find it in scripture or on Google. They're love, they're joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You did, good man. Thank you for your help, guys. Can we give them a round of applause? Because they knew more than any of you. So, and what does a life in the Spirit look like? So we've worked out what a life... How slow? Letter by letter. LOVEJOY. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Are you with me so far? Love, joy, peace, love. No, what? Yeah, but he asked me to do it again. I'm going to start again for all of those that don't listen. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're the 9 fruits. You should have only got 8 so far for the game. I know this might be a weird sight for some of you, but I'm going to put glasses on. Okay. So, what does a life in the Spirit look like? And no, it isn't coming to church on Sunday. It isn't just praying every night. It's not as simple as that. It's a way of life. It's a way of life that I stray from regularly, as I'd imagine we all do. It puts it this way in the message, which, as I said, I think it helps put in perspective and shows what it means and how to work with us today. It says, but what happens when we live God's way? It's a great way to start a bit of scripture. What happens when we live God's way? Straight after, I'm going to tell you. He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity, We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction for a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. So I think that breaks down all of the fruits into real words, really, and how they look. It's basically putting God first in everything you do. It's listening to what he asks you to do, which is follow these instructions, plain and simple. And he gives us these instructions of what to do in the terms of fruit of the Spirit. Live this way, live the way of the Spirit, live your life full of love, full of joy, full of peace. It's that simple, really. So it's simple. Live the way that God's Spirit leads us. Live the way that is good. And you'll live an abundant life. It won't be easy. If anyone says to you, I'm a Christian, everything's been easy, I'd question that. Because I know for me, it's not been easy. And if any of you, it's been easy, can you tell me what I'm doing wrong and tell me how to live an easy life? Because this is hard. So yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy going through that. And you'll live an abundant life if you live the life of a fruit of the Spirit. You'll live a life full of purpose, full of joy, full of hope, and full of knowing that you are loved by the guy with the biggest heart in the universe. It's that simple. You've got the biggest heart that was ever made, that ever was. So the real question is, what kind of life are you living at the moment? I'm not saying this to make you feel bad, because I'm on the fence with where I'm living, just because I'm human. So what kind of life are you living at the moment? Can you divide the two and work out how you are living day by day? Can you work out, I'm living more sinful, I'm living more godly? Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you think, I'll go to church, I'm more godly, and then you go home and thoughts start popping into your head, or start watching some nastiness on telly that puts your mind in a wrong way. It can be that simple. So, I don't think anyone could say that they're living fully one way since Jesus. Again, we like to think as people that we're living a life full of God, on fire for God. Yeah, I'm doing things for God. I'm praying, I'm doing this for God. I'm bringing people to faith. I'm doing this for God. I'm on fire. Look at me, I'm preaching. I'm on fire for God. This is what I live for. That is who I am. But on the inside, are you? Are you giving up that time every day? Are you living in everything you do when you're talking to people? Talking to people at work and a girl walks past, oh, she's hot. You're looking, won't have any of that. Do you do that? No. This is the answer. With a lot of things, and there's different vices for different people. So we might be on fire for God, but we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. And we all sin. Every single one of us in this room today sin. It's an inevitability that faces all of us day by day. You wake up in the morning and you think, at some point I'm going to do something that God might not agree with. Because we're not perfect. And is anyone perfect? Because if anyone stands up now and says, yeah, I'm perfect, it's boasting a little bit, isn't it? It's not, so automatically, you're not so perfect. So, is anyone perfect? Anybody? Is anyone here? Are you perfect? No, see, I'm cool. I'm glad that's, your dad's perfect. And your mum, that is actually the cutest thing I've ever heard. And we're all looking at Johnny thinking, and I can't find that, but I'm sure we'll be looking, thinking more so. Love you, Johnny. So I'm glad we got that sorted. Oh, this is a really good question. I'm glad you asked that. Fist bump. Cool. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, Helen. I can tell you're listening, you know, because you're always full of great questions. Helen, do you want the answer? That's why you asked. The question was, for those who didn't hear Helen, who so rudely interrupted me, to be honest, she said, "So, Scott," not that I've got it word, well, I've got it word for word. She said, "So, Scott, how do we get away from a life in sin and get into a life filled with the Spirit?" Which is a question that we all kind of need to know the answer to, in a way. So, you do this simply by believing that there is a God, believing he sent his Son, and most importantly, that his Son died on the cross for the sake of all of our sin, for the sake of all of our dirtiness, for the sake of everything that we do wrong day by day. Whether that be nicking a biscuit, or whether it be robbing a bank. You know what? He died for that sin. Don't go rob a bank. I'm not saying that's okay. But he did die for that. And you do this by recognizing that. It's not just believing that, it's recognizing it. Right, God done that. God done that. What am I going to do about this? God's done that. What can I do? You do it by following him. Striving to be more like him day by day. Not taking one big jump and being there, being Scott and then being, oh, I'm Jesus now. It's not that simple at all. It's just striving to be more like him. Be more like him day by day. You do this by putting into practice all of the fruits, which are, this is the point where you all shout them out, which are love. Well done, you all sound really unsure. They're love, they're joy, they're peace, goodness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You threw me completely off. Thanks for that. And by doing this, he will lead us into a fruitful life. Doesn't mean you're going to sprout branches. Doesn't mean you're going to grow apples through your nose. It's living a fruitful life. It's bringing people more to God. Whether that be through family, whether he blesses you with family, whether he blesses you with a job, whether it's happiness, whether it's through being fruitful by actually sharing the word, whether it's preaching, whether it's evangelizing, through your testimony, it could be through anything. It could be so simple as the little things every day that he makes fruitful. You know, you go to the shop and your favorite chocolate bar is on offer. Now, that's the best blessing that right there. You know, and we all think, oh yeah, God does these big things, but he does do the little things as well. So sometimes, you know, we all pray, oh, such and such has broke his leg, oh, such and such has got cancer, such and such is really sick. And we all pray for those things. God, please, please heal these things. We all forget, you know, I've got a stomachache, I've got a cold. You know, you can pray about these things too. God heals the little things and the big things. You know, I went off on a tangent, but it can be blessings through little things like this and for a fruitful life, you know. There's just as much power in God healing a cold than there is as healing cancer. It's the same God, the same power. It's just you're recognizing that he done that for you. Does that make sense? Thank you. Because I didn't make sense of that. But it's not only for your own lives. It's not only for you getting a job, for you doing this and that and being fruitful like that. It's as a church. You can see the church growing, bearing more fruit week by week. You know, we've had a whole service which is organized chaos, but it was the youth of the church that organized that. We saw Holly, sorry to say your name, but do you know what I mean? We saw her bearing fruit today and everything that this church taught her to come up here and say an amazing prayer, all written by her, all the youngsters, you know, bearing fruit through living the fruits of the Spirit, through loving people as they walk through the door, for being joyous, you know. It's just so simple, and it's going to grow. It's going to grow. You know, Junction is we're at a crucial point where God is taking over. You know, he's doing something amazing. His beginning, we can see it. You know, if you asked me 5 years ago, you're going to be preaching. No, it's only because of Junction that I'm able to do this, because they've equipped me with a knowledge of the Bible more so than I had. Not perfect, but it's that simple. With Joe worshipping, you know, we can rattle off so many things that the fruit is bearing and how many people are coming every day from a handful. You know, God's doing stuff. we've just got to put a belt buckle on and go along with a ride. And we're not going to like it. There's going to be some loop-de-loops. In a roller coaster, you go up and down, you go up and down, you go backwards. Sometimes it crashes, sometimes it stops. But God is in that, you know. There is a purpose. You're getting to something. And there are some wicked cool times along the way. It's not just what comes, it's what is on the way, you know. Picnics, so simple, you know. We all have fun, we bond with each other, we get to know each other, you know. And that's something that we can have now because there's more people. You know, just bearing fruit, so buckle up. And he will help us through all the trials, all the temptations of sin that God that is put in our way. You know, he will be there. He will help you through that. He will give you a way out. He will give you light. You might not see it. You might not see it for years. Sad. Sometimes so much temptation comes. I'm going to share something with you that I haven't really shared with many people, but. When me and Lydia first got together, I was having some horrific, horrible nightmares. I had nightmares for, how long was it, a couple of years? So like 2 years. I'd wake up in the night screaming. I'd wake up crying. I'd wake up absolutely broken and battered. Now, I read it, I can't remember what scripture is. It's really, really bad. It's just like, pray in all things, you know? I thought, you know what, when I wake up, do I pray in the morning afterwards and say, God, can you stop that tonight? Do I do it then? That's when I'm being attacked. That's when the devil comes to you, you know? That's when the sin, the temptation, the nasty thoughts come into your head. You just got to give them straight over to God. Straight away. God, please look. Stop this. You're bigger than this. 2 years. 2 years I had nightmares praying every day. But now, I haven't had a nightmare since. Not even a little one. You know? It's just, that's the power of God, the power of Christ. And he does. You know, it's not a sin, it's not a temptation, but for me, that's just put into perspective that you might not see a way out for years, but when it comes, you've got that as a testimony. You've got that as a megaphone that you could shout, you know what, yeah, I struggled, but through the love of God, through God helping me, do you know what I mean? He helped me through that. He gave me a way out. I'm stronger for it. Sometimes I swore at God afterwards. God, why has this happened? I've been praying for so long, I'm so angry. Had enough. Go away. Well, next night I still prayed. Why? I don't know. But now I can see why, because I've got the way out. So, and that works with sin. You might get tempted to drink every single day, every single day, every single day. You might pray. God will open doors. And he will get you through that sin. He will give you temptation and then allow you to bear good fruit. We've all got testimonies. They're not all bad. They're not all good. You know, we've all had struggles. God gives you a way out. Enables you to bear good fruit. To tell other people. Do you know what I mean? It only takes... I think it was you that was telling me this, DB, actually. That when you're talking to people that aren't Christians, just mentioning God in a conversation when they're asking, plants a seed. Was it something like 9 times? Like the statistic was something like, for every 9 times someone is told about God in a situation and doesn't listen, on the 9th time, they've heard that 9 times, they listen, and there can be change in that person's life. So that's the thing, it's just planting seeds. You don't have to bear fruit in your own church either, you know. You can preach to someone here, and they end up somewhere miles away, but that is what happens. So be thankful, think positive in all you do. Yeah, we will stumble into sin every now and then. But if you are rooted in the fruits of the Spirit, in the Spirit, in what God is, in all of his rules of the fruit of the Spirit, doing these things, those sins will be forgiven. Because God knows, after all, we're only human. That's all I've got to say. So thanks for listening. Thank you.